But Lord, we will have peace and joy in this house. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the time we have to be with you today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I feel such a sweet presence here. His presence is here. And I love him. Don't you love him? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. I am instructing you to prepare for these last days. You know, you're living in the last days. These are perilous days and dangerous days. But I will prepare my people to survive and to thrive. I'm not only talking about finishing your race. I'm talking about winning your race. I'm talking about you living in great victory so that others around you will see it. While other things are falling apart, you won't fall apart. Your marriage will not fall apart. Your children will not fall apart because you're built on the rock. The storms are here. The winds are blowing. The rain is coming down hard. But I say to you, you can be at peace and joy. You can have that if you will stay close to me. Only as you stay close to me will you have this in your life. Know that I am preparing you this day. Please listen to what I have to say to you. Don't forget it. Write it down. Remember it. Memorize it. But most of all, obey it. Put it into practice. And these will be the things that will sustain your life in the coming days. You will know that I am preparing you. You will feel it inside of your spirit man that I am preparing you to go through these last days. Because there is a great work for you to do in these last days. Before I come to get you, there is a great work for you to do. But you must be prepared. You must be in position for this to happen. And I am doing that work right now in your life. So take heed what the Spirit is saying to you. Listen to what he's saying and obey him. For it is long past due that you should live in disobedience where you don't care anymore. Come back to the Father. Come back to listening to me. Come back to the place that you know you should be. And stay there. And don't move away from me anymore. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's praise him for that. Come on, just praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him. If he spoke to you, praise him. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for talking to me this morning. Thank you, Lord. You are preparing us. Thank you, Lord. We can hear you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the power to obey you and to put what we are hearing, Lord, into practice. Thank you, Lord. We know the coming days are going to be rough, but Lord, thank God, Lord, what you're putting in us, Lord, will carry us through and cause us to survive and to thrive, Lord, in these last days. And Lord, to help others come to know you, Lord, that's our plan. That's your plan. And Lord, we love you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalms 91, verse 1 through 16. I think we're going to put this. I have this in the King James. I have several scriptures this morning, and I'm going to be reading them. I'm going to have them come up in the King James, the NIV, and the Living Bible, because I want you to understand it. It helps me to understand it. So, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my strength, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, watch this, because this is something you do, and because you do it, this happens. Okay, so that tells you something. If you don't do it, this won't happen. But because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because, here's the word because again. What does it mean? Because I've done something. Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because, here it is again, he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Can you say amen to the word of the Lord? What a great psalm it is. Thank God that the Lord has written this to us and it's made available to us. Last week we talked on this, and this I knew this was probably going to be somewhat of a little bit of a series. I don't like to get into too many series, but this is a series because of just taking it verse by verse and going down through there. Last week we talked about the first three major words in the psalm: he that dwelleth in the secret place. We talked about that because outside of that, there's no need to go any farther. If you don't understand it and you don't do that, there's no more reason to read the rest of it, because you clearly see God's part, they see your part. God's part, your part. That's in this psalm. That's why the little word if is found so many times in the New Testament. Why? Because the word if is there so that it gives you the choice. If you do what God tells you, if you obey him, if you follow him, if you listen to him. See, because there's a chance you won't do it. If I was to ask how many in here there's been a time in your life you didn't do it, every hand would go up. We know what it is not to do what God tells us to do, don't we? Amen. We know what it is to not do what God tells us to do. We know what it is not to suffer when we don't do what God tells us to do. We know that. That's clear. And thank God he's a father that is very patient with us, and he has a heart of a father. Thank God for that. Thank God he has the heart of a father. How else would we survive if he didn't have a heart of a father towards us? He tells us he loves us, and when we make mistakes, thank God he doesn't come in to just reject us and leave us. No, he's there to help us and help us to learn through those mistakes, right? But he that dwelleth, the word he there is just a generic term. It means he or she. It just means everyone, whoever will dwell in the secret place. That was, and I'm not going to go into that again. You'll just have to look that up. That was the Holy of Holies. It was the place one man could go in once a year and talk face to face with God. And that's why you were created. You were created to have a relationship with him. That's why when Jesus died, and Mark, and most of the Gospels, it says the veil was rent from top to bottom. He was telling us he no longer wants to stay behind that veil. It says his name will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. He wants to be with you. This is not some compartmentalizing thing with God that you come to church and then when you leave church, he stays here. He's not going to do that. If you don't want him to go with you and you want to live contrary to him, no, he can't be a part of that. And you're telling him, I don't want to be a part of that. But how many know you can take him with you? And when you go home and when you go in the restaurant and when you sit down and watch the Houston Texans play today and when you're rooting them on and saying, Lord, please help my Texans today. Amen. That's all right. That's all right. He don't mind helping your Texans as long as they don't become an idol. As long as you don't root more for them than you root for him. Oh, my Lord. Now, come on. I'm not going to preach to an unfriendly crowd in here. I'm not going to pray, Lord, bless the Texans. I don't pray that, but I say, Lord, help the Texans. Amen. They are in our city. Amen. See, when God so supernaturally brought Israel out of bondage in Egypt. He brought them through what they called the wilderness. You remember that? It was a desert. He brought them through. But how many know that was not to be their final resting place? That was just a transitional place. That was a place he gave them the opportunity to change. But they didn't change. And when they don't change, they die in that place. They die unchanged. They won't make the changes. They won't do what God tells them to do. And they all died there, except for two. Isn't that incredible? But that was never meant to be a resting place. It was meant for them to pass through that. And in that time, God would change them, form them, mold them, make them to be the kind of people he wanted them to be. Why? What kind of people? So that they would walk in greater harmony with him. What is he doing to your life and my life? He's molding and making it so you'll walk in greater harmony, not with the world. No. The closer you get to walking in harmony with God, the more out of harmony you'll get with that world. There'll be nothing out there that you'll want. You're just living here because that's just part of what you have to do. But as far as you harmonizing and coming into unity, you'll be coming into unity with the Lord. You'll want what he wants. You'll love what he loves. You'll hate what he hates. And let me tell you something. If there are things in your life that he hates and you love, how many know? Here's the thing. He'll help you work through that, but you've got to be honest about it. See, if you love pornography, you've got to tell him that. Tell him that. People say, why did you bring that up? Because it's pandemic. Men and women. It's running rampant in our nation. I have no doubt there's some in here. It's too easy to get a hold of anymore. I was looking at a Bible study the other day. Debbie was sitting right beside me. I was checking some word studies on some things. And I hit one of the sites on the word studies, and what came up was a Filipino dating service with these scantily clad Filipino women on a Bible study. Debbie was sitting there. I said, look at this. I said, just look. She said, why are you on there? I said, wait a minute now. Wait just a minute. I just want to show you something. I didn't go on there. I'm looking up a Bible study. And she said, my Lord, that's just sick. You know how Debbie can be, you know. And I said, that's the way they do it. They get you caught like that. But it's everywhere. You're not going to be able to escape it. But here's the thing. You have to understand this. If that's in you, don't run from God. Run to him. He wants to help you. You say, Pastor, that's so dirty and ugly. It is. It is. But how many know we have those parts of our life that are dirty and ugly? You say, how? The Lord knew before you ever got here what we were. Take it to him. Tell him, help me, Lord, to change my desire from these things. It'll ruin you. It'll take everything out of your life. See, the thing, and I talked about this Wednesday, but there was one reason, really the base, and really it's really, you can even go back to the Garden of Eden, because the root of all sin is selfishness. The root of all sin. Anything you and I do, it's because we want to do it. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. They chose that apple, ate that fruit because that's what they wanted. It was selfishness. And Israel stayed and died in that wilderness because of a lack of self-control. They couldn't control themselves. And we live in a day just like that. And it's in the church. The divorce rate in the church is as high as it is in the world. There are as many people on drugs as there is in the church as there in the world. There's many people drinking in the church as there is in the world. There's no difference anymore. And that cannot be. God called us out of that kind of life. You know, years ago, I'd have preached this with I'd have been hollering and screaming and everything. But that was in my younger, ignorant years when I would do that. The Lord is just talking to you. Because you remember what the message in tongues said? I'm preparing you to survive and thrive in the end times. And you're not going to be able to survive and thrive if you're living like the world's living. It won't work. Come on, somebody. Let's be 100% here on this. You don't need to live. You don't need drugs to live. You don't need alcohol to live. You don't need anything like that to live. Okay, anyway, so we get back to this. So the self-control, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 10. He says they lusted after things that they shouldn't want. And the two main things that really destroyed them in the Old Testament and in the wilderness was immorality and idolatry. That's why I said what I said about the Houston Texans. I know we laugh about it, but I'm not being funny about that. I mean, there's people, they build shrines. You go by some of these homes, their whole garage is built to the Texans. People saying, oh, Pastor, you're meddling real bad. I'm not saying anything. You say, are you saying that's wrong? I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying you've got to give equal time. You can't just spend all that on a sporting team and you come up here and you won't even raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. That's all I'm saying. It won't work. That's what they did in the wilderness. They just, every God, they just worship and lavish over, and God got sick of it. He was the one who delivered them. He said in Psalm 78, they forgot who delivered them. It wasn't Baal. It wasn't these other gods who reached in and grabbed them. It was me who delivered them. And I'm telling you and I something today. None of these gods, the Texans didn't deliver you. They can't save you. They're not preparing a place for you. Only one person is doing that. And he deserves the highest praise. Come on, let's praise him. That's all I'm saying. Keep it straight. I'll probably watch the game today. It doesn't make me an idolater. That's not what I'm saying. Please understand what I'm saying. Just don't get it out of whack. Don't give God your leftovers. These 90 minutes set a tone for the rest of your week. And if you don't think the tone has to be right spiritually, it's what sets for every other thing. Every other relationship is affected by your relationship to God. Every other relationship is affected by that relationship. Isn't that right? So if your relationship with God is good, I guarantee you the other relationship that you're going to have will be good. If you're out of kilter with God, it won't be good. Now, I don't know if you're like this, but I like things repeated to me. I like to hear things several times. It helps me to remember, and I need to remember things. Really, you know, in fact, I know it's something that, because it's a type of teaching in the Word of God called chakma teaching, and chakma means to pound, to beat in. And I know some of you already know, you say, oh, dear God, if you're going to do that again, yes, I'm going to do it again. But the way the Lord told me this, and he told me this 25 years ago, of how it had such an impact upon me, upon constantly hearing something over and over and over again, and the ability to memorize it once it's hidden there. But just sing this with me. Oh, come and listen to a story about a man named Jed. Barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground came a bubbling crude. Oh, that is black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills. Look at that. Swimming pools, movie stars. You say, what does that prove? I'll tell you what it proves. There is no way on God's green earth you even knew you were going to have to sing that today. And all I had to do is bring it up, and it just came back out of memory. Because it was pounded into you every day. Because it was a hit show, and people played it in their homes every single day. That's chakma. That's the pounding. That's what the enemy does with his advertisements. Boom, 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 boom. You hear it on beer commercials. All his junk, he pounds and pounds and pounds at us day by day by day. Isn't that right? and you come to church for 90 minutes. That's all we really basically get. 90 minutes. And we expect you to remember these things. It won't work. Unless you take what you're hearing and go home and go it back again and again and again. And you get your children down and you teach them and you tell them this. You will learn this, this, this. That's all I'm saying. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. You know, there are several times a year I really like the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. I like it for several reasons. I like to put on what little Western clothes I have. And I like to go out there and I like to smell the animals. I like to smell where they are. I like the smell of that. It's just a pure, clean smell to me. I mean, when you live in Pasadena, you know, we get some putrid smells in Pasadena. I mean, it's like there are some funky things going on in Pasadena. Can I get an amen? God, that's good preaching, Pastor. Funky smells in Pasadena. Amen. That's the truth. But man, you go out there and you get that barnyard smell. You just get all that smell. And I mean, I really like it. But then I like the food out there. I mean, you just go out there and you can just eat all kinds of things out there. You know what I'm talking about? Just don't wear a white shirt when you go out there to eat. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? I usually wear some kind of a camo shirt. That way, if I drop anything on my shirt, camo, nobody sees it. It's no big deal. Hold on. So what I like to do is that, before I get into the livestock show and rodeo, I have to wait for it to come around once a year. But here's the thing. Before I ever get into it, there's several things I have to do to get there. I have to drive about 20 miles to get there. Then I have to pay for parking to go in. Then I have to buy a ticket. You know what I'm saying? I have to get dressed, buy a ticket, drive there, park, and then walk 3/4 of a mile to get where you're going. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody say amen. Amen. Wow, that's a lot to get through. But once I get there, once I get all that done, then I have access to the livestock show and rodeo. And here I am. Now here's my point. See, before you have access to the verses 3-16, you got to drive there. You got to pray. You got to do this and you got to do that. And then you have access to all the rest of that psalm. See, you don't just walk in there and start saying, well, he'll give his angels charge over me and keep me in all my ways. Boy, you're pulling that right out of context. Have you been dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Because if you haven't, those angels aren't going to be there. Come on, somebody. So I want that. In any time the Bible talks about buying something or spending something, it's not anything like what we think it is. In fact, I have a couple of things I want to show you here. In Isaiah chapter 55, this is another one, and it says, Come all you who are thirsty. That almost sounds like Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, come all you who are thirsty. It's qualifying this. Come to the waters, and you who have no money. He says, come, buy, and eat. That's almost contradicting itself. He's saying, you don't have any money, but come and buy and eat. You say, what's he saying? Come buy wine, milk, and I don't have time to go into this. This is what I want to say. Without money and without cost, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Look at verse 3. Give ear and come to me. See, that message in tongues, it always is going to focus down on you taking time to listen to what the Lord is saying to you. And then you take it out of here and you say, I know the Lord spoke to me. And you hold it. It's like, this is very valuable to me because it's something the Lord said to me. I know Pastor Jay didn't know anything going on in my life, but the Lord said some things in there that I know it was the Lord who said that to me. And I'm going to hold on to what he said to me. See, but the by part, he says, come and give ear and come to me, listen to that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Now that's important. And we're going to talk about David here in just a minute. See, the part about costing, when he says, buy this, he's saying, this is what it's going to cost you. To go to the livestock show and rodeo, I've got to drive there. I've got to have Western clothes. I've got to have money in my pocket so I can buy food and all this stuff. I've got to park, buy parking tickets and walk all the way up there, buy tickets and get in. That's the cost of it. If I try to eliminate any of those steps, I won't get there. Right? I won't have access to the livestock show. And that's the part. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, you cannot bypass that step. It's what gives you access to the blessing of the Lord and all the protection and divine provision of God. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to me." It's the same thing. See, if you're not thirsty, you're not going to come to him. See, when people say, and people drive by, they'll drive by 610, they'll drive by that Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and they'll say, "Man, what's going on out there? Houston Livestock, I don't like that thing. I went years ago. It's the same old cows and goats and lambs. I don't want to do that anymore." See, that's what people do in church. "Oh, I did that. I used to go to church. And, you know, I just used to do all that." They're not thirsty anymore. They're not going to spend anything anymore. It's not going to cost them anything anymore. See, spiritually, people say, "Oh, Lord, I just want everything." God says, you better come dwell. It's going to cost you something. See, this week, if you want to dwell with God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a little sleep. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you the ability to focus and concentrate on the Lord. That's what it's going to cost you. But if you'll do that, God says these are the things that are going to happen in your life. See, we have no problems in focusing on the benefits. But what we do have a problem is in doing what God tells us to do in the beginning. And we cannot bypass that. You can't have it. It won't work. So, see, you say, well, he says to buy this. Well, we know, according to Isaiah 53, see, there's nothing to buy. He's already paid for it. That's what he said. He's already paid for all of this. In Isaiah 53, it says, surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God and smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Why am I reading that? Because he paid the price. He paid the cost. All he's telling us to do is that to spend time, dwell with him, be thirsty for him. Do you know how important it is that you long for God? That when on Sunday mornings, you instead of saying, "Oh, it's Sunday morning again, I guess we better go to church," instead of going, "Oh God, I can't wait to get there to worship God. I need to worship God today. I need to be in church. I have been rubbing shoulders and I've been living out there, and I tell you what, it has bruised me up, it has broken me, and I'm ready to go into the house of the Lord and I'm ready to worship God." How many know the Lord sees that? And in the morning when you get up, you say, you know, you don't just get in such a hurry about getting so busy, but you say, "Oh, I've got to spend a few minutes with my Lord before I start out into this world again." You hear what I'm saying? That's those that are thirsty and dwell with God. They'll take the time. That's the cost of it. You say, "I don't get a chance to read my newspaper." That's your cost. I'll take those 10 minutes and spend it with the Lord. See, in John 6:26, Jesus knows people that only focus on the benefits. He said, "I'll tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and fishes." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. You just want my benefits. That's the only reason you draw near to me." That's what he said to them. So what I'm saying is that he knows the hidden motives. He knows why you're doing what you're doing. If what you're doing is for show or if it's because you truly love him. That's what he's after. How many know that he wants you? What else could we give him? So if we love him and we're thirsty to be with him and we dwell with him, then great things will begin to happen. See, I believe this. The more we dwell with God, the more we take time with the Lord and dwell with him, the greater and fuller the peace and the joy of God will be with us. I believe that's why so many people are walking in such fear worry and anxiety because they don't spend time with the Lord. If you spend time with the one who has peace and is peace and is joy, how many know when you come out of his presence, that's what you're going to have? How many know it would be silly to say I spent an hour with the Lord and come out and say, I'm just fearful and worried. I'm just so upset. I've just spent an hour with God and I'm just a wreck. How many know people don't come out of there like that? They come out of there going, oh, God's got it. Oh, God's got my life. He's all right. Everything going to be all right. Praise the Lord. Don't make me play that happy song again. Do you hear what I'm saying, though? People know it. You cannot just stay away from God and expect for the peace and the joy to be manifested in you. You say, Pastor, I'm having a tremendous problem with fear and joy. I need God to cast that out. No, you need to spend time with him. See, it's just an easy fix to have somebody come lay their hands on him. And I don't mind to do that, but please don't be doing it just to bypass what God's telling you to do, and that's to dwell with him. He's beckoning you. Come out and be with me. Spend an hour less on Facebook and come and talk to me face to face. Whoa, man, that's kind of a groan in here then. I'm not telling you to don't have Facebook. I'm just telling you, you can talk face to face with those people. Talk face to face with God. See, he wants that. He loves that. He created you for it. How many know you find the richest times in your life when you spend time with God and God can just, and I'm going to tell you, when you're talking to him and he's talking to you out of his word, I'm telling you, God is putting in you himself. Himself. And that's what we need in this day. See, he said, don't spend your money on something that doesn't satisfy. See, the cost of the pleasures of this world are real expensive, but they don't satisfy. He said, don't spend your money on something that doesn't satisfy. He said, don't let something cost you in your life that's not going to satisfy you. Man, it doesn't matter. You can buy $1 million worth of drugs, and when you get through, you won't be satisfied. You'll just want more. Plus, you'll be a junkie, an addict. It'll ruin your life if you survive it. If you survive it, it'll kill you. Isn't that right? Alcohol. It just, you know, you start it and then you just keep drinking it. And you just, the more you drink, the more you want. And the whole time it's just destroying every organ in your body. Not only that, but it's destroying your family and relationships. You say, you're getting too personal. Folks, this is where we live. I mean, I had a whole section of my family that were alcoholics. Don't talk to me about it. I've got family members now that are alcoholics. So say, you're talking about something you don't know. Oh, no, don't talk to me. I know my grandfather was an alcoholic for 9 years. I know what it is. It's a horrible thing. But the problem is that once you get all that and spend 9 years doing that, then all you want is more because you can't be satisfied with it. But I'm going to tell you, when you drink of this water, Jesus will satisfy you. When you drink of what he has, you won't want to look for anything else. Because he'll take care of everything. Somebody say amen. Let's worship him again. Come on, just praise him out loud. Come on, praise him out loud. He's worthy of it. Thank you, Lord. Why would he choose David? Because David chose him. David loved God. And God loves people who love him. He's close to people who love him. You think God knows every person on the face of the earth who loves him right now? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knows them. David would listen to him. David would dwell with him. David thirsted after him. David wanted him. David couldn't live without him. That's why he was called. That's why God positioned him to be a king. Because that's the kind of man and vessel God wanted in that position. He was a shepherd who became king. See, you may be in a real lowly position right now. But God is positioning you. In that position of lowliness, dwell and be with God. God will promote you. God will do it. You mark it down, God will do it. This world may not put stock in you, but God puts a lot of stock in you. He could not live without him. He was willing to die for his honor. He was willing to die for his honor. He wouldn't let people badmouth God around him. You better not. He'd cut your head off. I'm serious. You badmouth God around David. David pulled that sword. He'd cut your head off. That'd be the last word you ever spoke. And it would be a righteous thing. and nobody would question it. Just go on to the next one. I'm just telling you. See, in the valley of Elah, when David went down into that valley and heard that giant, the Philistine giant, Goliath, start bad-mouthing God, he said, "Who is this?" Why? Because what was inside of him was enormous, and he couldn't stand it. Now, I want you to watch this. What time is it? Oh, good. Good. We don't get out to about 1 here. They did tell you all that when you came in, didn't you? Should be about the second half by the time you get home. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, here's the setting. David goes. He hears that. In his heart, he says, "That can't be. There's something wrong with that." Now, here's what happened. Goliath walks out. Let me just read this to you. Let me just read just a couple of these. I want to show you this because this is important. I want you to understand this. Say it with me. Say Psalms 91, verse 22. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." Okay, now watch this. When David went down into that valley, when he was stirring, this is what he said in verse 37 of 1 Samuel 17. Just look at there. You can look at my letter. He said in this, let's put that up. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. I think I have this in King James. Look at what David said. Psalms 91, verse 2. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand." Do you know how important it is that today you stand somewhere and you say, "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress"? You say it. It comes out of your mouth. That's what David said out there in that battlefield. He said, "The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear," he said, "He's the one who's going to deliver me. Who's going to keep you through these last days? The Lord will be your refuge and your fortress." What is a refuge? A refuge is a place you run to so you can be found safe. A fortress is once you get in there, it is so built nobody can penetrate it. He is my refuge and He is my fortress. He is those. I will say it. You need to let your children say, "The Lord is our refuge and our fortress in this day." We will lock our doors. We will do our best to secure our home and do the best to live secure life. But I'm telling you, in the end, God is the one who'll bring us through this. That's what I'm trying to say. I'll say it. I'll say it to you as your pastor. The Lord is our refuge and our fortress at Calvary Chapel. Nothing will penetrate it. He said, look at this verse, put it back up there. "And Samuel armed," "and Saul said," "and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail," or coat of armor, "and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, but he said," I hadn't proved, he said, "This doesn't work. This is not what I was prepared to do. This is not how I was trained to fight. I wasn't trained to fight in earthly armor. That's not how God trained me. I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. Now get this. He walks out into that valley. And this is what he said in verse 45. David said to the Philistine, to Goliath, verse 45, David said, "You come against me with the sword, the spear, and the javelin." That's earthly armor. But he said, "I come against you in the name of the Lord." You remember what we just read in Psalm 91? "Because He has known my name, I will rescue him." See, Goliath walked out there completely clothed in earthly armor. And David walked out of there with a little skin and a little slingshot. You couldn't see the armor David had. But he was completely covered by God when he walked in that valley. When you leave here today, If you dwell with him and you say, God is my refuge, they may not see it out there, but you will be fully clothed by the armor of God upon you. Come on, somebody, praise him. Thank you, Lord. Because we do not fight against flesh and blood with the earthly armor. We fight against in spiritual armor. Folks, this is so critical that day by day you speak over your children and say, the Lord God. Listen, there are four names of God in those first verses. And I know I'm getting close to time here, but listen to me. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's number one. Most High. This is what Most High means. The Hebrew word is El Elyon, and it means that God is more important than anyone else. See, there is no idolatry there. No one or nothing is in front of him. He is the Most High God. Okay, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Almighty there is Elohim. That means he is almighty. It means that God is more powerful than any other person or thing in his life. See, he believes that. He knows that. It wouldn't have mattered if Goliath would have been 20 feet tall, and it wouldn't have mattered if there had been 100 of them. He'd have still taken to that field. And how many know it wouldn't have mattered if there was 1,000 of them? God would have mowed them down like bowling pins. Because it wasn't David they were fighting. They were fighting God. Why? Because David was clothed with God. He's our refuge and my fortress. Folks, listen to me. I know because that message in tongues, when you walk out of your home, you better be clothed by God. He's my refuge and my fortress. He's my God. All right? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, that is Adonai. The Hebrew word is Adonai. And that means that he has taken his place as a servant to him. See, you know, I got that Watchman Nee little quote. It says, he cannot take his place as Lord until we take our place as servant. David took his place as a servant, and God took his place as Lord. So nothing was going to defeat him. It wouldn't have mattered. That's why he said, I mean, think about it, a little shepherd boy and a lion and a bear, he could kill them. Have you thought about that? You hear these stories of these bears that are mauling and killing and lions. I mean, I'm talking about ferocious animals. They were nothing. Not for David, but for God of David. See, it wouldn't matter. See, you don't know what your kids are going to run into. So, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. And that word God in the Hebrew is Jehovah. And it means the unchangeable, intimate God. And it means he will decide what happens and the outcome of this fight. And who decided the outcome of that fight in the Valley of Elah that day? Was it David? Was it Goliath? It was God. And who's going to decide the battles in your life? God will. You never want to walk into a battle when you're not prepared. You want to walk in saying, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. If someone sticks a gun in your face, just look up and say, God is my refuge and my fortress. He is Almighty God. Do you hear what I'm saying? All right, I'm closing with this. Are we doing our part? Have we allowed our own lives to become uncovered because we don't obey him or we don't listen to him? Are there areas the enemy is able to get in because we're unprotected in areas because we're disobeying in certain areas of our life? We give the enemy access into our lives through our disobedience and through our ignorance. We give the enemy an advantage if we don't say, we're not saying certain things every day over our life. We must say them. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Speak it. You may not feel it. You say, Pastor, when I get up in the morning, I won't feel anything. You don't have to feel anything. Just confess it. If you don't know it, if you can't memorize it, read it out of the Word. Read Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2 over your life and over your children, over your husband, over your marriage, over every part of your life. Say, the Lord is our refuge and our fortress. The Lord will take care of us today. Isn't that right? That's the hope that we have. And I want to close with this thought, this truth about this. And I say this, and I'm included. Believe me, if you ever think I'm preaching down at you, I'm not. I'm preaching right. I've had so many errors in my life that have been unprotected, and the Lord just through the years has helped me to protect them and cover them. But if you go back to, and I just want you to just listen to me just a minute, but in 1 Samuel chapter 2, it's when Eli and his sons were in the priesthood. But what happened was that Eli had been anointed priest of Shiloh over Israel. It was a very high position, but he had two sons. And this is what the Lord said about them. Eli's sons were wicked men, and they had no regard for the law. That's the NIV. But if you read it in the Living Bible or even in the King James, this is what it says. It says, Eli's sons were worthless. The word worthless means corrupt. But it says, the next words is what got me. They knew not the Lord. But yet they were priests. How can you represent a God you don't even know? That's where we're living today. That's why Eli's sons could commit immorality and serve communion on the same day. It didn't mean anything to them. It means nothing. That's why certain priests can offer sacraments and then go out and be pedophiles. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's how we can sit in here on a church and worship God and then go home and then act like the world. How is that possible? They knew not the Lord. See, if you don't have intimate time with God, what that does is that it opens doors and you're just worldly like the rest of them. It opens you up. Do you remember the woman at the well? I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember the woman at the well when Jesus talked to her? He said to her, he was talking about worship, and she says, we worship. Now get this, this woman was immoral. Because Jesus said, the man you're living with is not your husband. She's living in sin, and yet she's talking about worship. We live in a day like that. I worship God. I worship God in my own way. You better run. Nobody worships God in their own way. We worship God the way God says to worship. That's how Israel got in so much trouble. We're all held to a certain standard. Are you listening to me? How can people say, I worship this holy God, but I'm living in open sin? How are we able at times to come in here and we talk, we say praise the Lord, and then go to our jobs and cuss like a sailor? How is that possible? Huh? How could you talk Christianese here and then on your job you're tell dirty jokes? No intimacy. No intimacy. Because if you spend time with God, you would never act like that. True or false? I don't want to be like that. I could be like that, but I don't want to be like that. I want to make this office something that it's supposed to be. I'm not responsible for everything, but I am responsible for this. I know that when I leave this office and I leave what I'm saying today and I go home, I've got to act a certain way. I want to act a certain way. If I go to Walmart today, I want to act a certain way in the Walmart. I've told you before, I don't want you to ever catch me sitting on the benches at Walmart eyeing all the women that are walking by. That's really not funny. What would you think of your pastor that did that? There he gets up there and talks about holy things, and yet he's got wandering eyes looking just like the rest of the men do. It's awful quiet in here. Jesus said, this is what he said. He said, the hour is coming when they that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. He said, there'll be none of this. There'll be none of this stuff. He said, the people that will worship me in a truth according to my word. He said, if they're living wrong, they'll get it right. Then they'll worship. If there's something wrong, they'll leave it at the altar, and then they'll go back and make it right with their brother. Then they'll come and they'll worship God. It'll mean something to them. Why was Hophni and Phinehas able to commit an immorality and serve communion and just act like that? Because they didn't know the Lord. How are people able to do that? We live in a day like this. How are people able to say, I'm born again, I'm a Christian, but they live just like the world? They do the same drugs, drink the same alcohol, run with the same women. Listen, you don't want this sorted out at the end. You want to get it sorted out now. If you die like that, that's the condition you're going to die in. And God help any of us if we think we can live in sin and serve Him. That's not true. We may make mistakes, but it's not a lifestyle anymore. I may trip up. I may say something that I should. I may react a certain way, but it's not the way it is. And I'll make it right as soon as I know it's wrong. Right? Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the heart of a believer. It's not that they're perfect, but when they make a mistake, they make it right. They make it right with the person. They make it right with God because that's what pleases Him. And that's more important to them than anything else. And you always know this. In any relationship, it's the one who's most spiritual will make it right first. Because they know the consequences that it's having upon their relationship to God. You can't talk to your wife just any way you want to and talk to people and be ugly and come in here and worship Him and He's just going to just say, that's all right, no problem. No way! But here's the point. You say, what are you trying to say in all this? I'm telling you, when we dwell with God and we thirst after God and we spend time with God, God will put in us that desire for holiness. If we want to be a truly happy church, we will be a holy church. We don't just sing happy and then go out and live any way we want to. And I doubt I ever play that again. I found out later that he writes some real ugly songs and that Pharrell Williams. And I probably won't do that again. But at that moment, I just wanted to play that. And it's not really, I'm not reflecting on any other of his talents, abilities to write other, you know, worldly songs. Just that one song caught my ear about being happy. And I'm telling you as a Christian, I want to be happy. I have enough to go through as a pastor that I could hang my head every day of my life, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get jaded because of the way people talk about me and what they say about me and my family. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be jaded. I'm not going to be hard-hearted. If they don't love me, I'm just going to move on. Maybe there'll be somebody down the road that'll love me here. Hopefully a few of them. But if they don't, I'm going to try to do my best. You hear what I'm saying? I'm just saying I want to live for God. I don't want to be an idolater. I don't want to be immoral. I don't want to be an alcoholic. I don't want to be a drug addict. I don't want to be a pornographer. I don't want to be those things. And they're in my face just like they're in your face. But I'm telling you what's inside this book that will come inside of us will help us to be an overcomer over every bit of it. But he's got the only solution to it. And our solution is that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, oh, he that thirsteth comes to me. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, that you're talking to us today. We thank you, Lord, that you care so much. Lord, in the beginning of this service, Lord, you said you loved us so much. Lord, you said that they that worship you would worship you in spirit and truth, and the Father seeketh out those that are like that. Lord, we don't want to be like Hophni and Phinehas, going through the motions of church, and yet we don't even know you. Priests that represented you, but didn't know you. Yes, that's possible. Lord, we don't want to be like that. You're calling us to a higher life, a greater life, a life that will honor you and please you. No, Lord, we cannot live it in our own ability. And Lord, if we do make mistakes, and we will, then Lord, we have an advocate with the Father if we confess our sins. I didn't bring you in here to discourage you, and I know the Lord didn't either. He came in here to give you hope, but he came in here to tell you there's a certain way.